The book of Acts in chapter 18. I'd like to read the whole chapter. We're kind of picking up the speed in the book of Acts. I guess after several years of being there, we need to move along. Acts chapter 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. But when Gallio was proconsul in Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying, "This man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it is a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to be a judge of these things." And he drove them from the tribunal. And they all seized Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Gallio paid no attention to any of this. And after this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria. And with him, Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchrea, he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. But he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, "I will return to you if God wills." And he set sail from Ephesus. When he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. Father, we do pause and ask again that you would speak to us tonight. This is a chapter that covers many years of events in the history of your church. We want to know why it's in our Bibles. We want to be able to learn from it. We want to hear what you have to say to the church so that we might experience all of the good things that you have for your people. And so be gracious to us this night and send your Spirit, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Growing up, I was fortunate to have a few friends in our neighborhood, ride bikes with, play ball. Got to grow up across the street from an elementary school that had basketball courts and softball field and whatnot. In junior high, I met new friends that I got to hang out with. I married the best of those friends. And then later went into the Army and made new friends. And again, every year my wife gets together with four other Army wives that we met during that time. They've continued to be friends over the years. In the church, we all develop friendships. But I think that often when you get older, it becomes harder and harder to make those friendships and to maintain those friendships. We all get busy with life. Do you have any friends? Do you have some good Christian friends that you can depend on, that you can encourage? Yes, she is a great friend. You can encourage and they can encourage you. Paul is traveling about. He's sharing the gospel. He's planting churches. He's encouraging existing churches. He's working hard. He has traveled from Asia to Europe. He has visited Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens. Now we read that he is visiting Corinth. He goes on to Ephesus, and it just goes on and on. One commentator said when Luke is not tagging along, he can compress a whole lot of travel narrative because Luke is not giving us all the details. He's just giving us the big picture. But there's a lot of traveling going on in this chapter. Every step of the way, Paul enjoys the company of some friends. Even in Athens, where it seemed that he was all alone, if we look back up into chapter 17, you know, he had been at Athens, he was waiting, and he was just touring the city, and then got provoked by seeing all of these idols. But the chapter ends by telling us that some men joined Paul and believed, and among whom also were Dionysius and then this woman Demarius. Evidently, Paul made some new friends even when he was in Athens. Paul probably felt pretty discouraged by the time you get to chapter 18. After having been in Athens, in Philippi, he had been arrested, he had been beaten, he had been put in prison. In Thessalonica, it had brought on a riot, and he had to leave town. In Berea, he had been chased down by people and then chased out of town. In Athens, most of the intellectuals laughed at him. He arrives eventually in Corinth, and will later write a letter back to them, but what he tells them about his visit in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He was evidently suffering and a bit discouraged by the time that he had reached Corinth. Here in Acts 18, I think one way of going through this chapter is simply to see the number of people, the friends who helped Paul along in his ministry and in his life. Luke, he's telling us all kinds of stuff that, you know, why are you telling me this? You know, what has this got to do with the bigger picture of the kingdom of God? But I think Luke wants us to see all of these different friends. And we'll just go through them rather quickly. He first met a man named Aquila and his wife Priscilla. Both of these are Greek names, but we are told that Aquila was a Jew and that he was from Turkey, and that he and his wife had had relocated to Rome in Italy. There had been an ethnic cleansing in Rome at one point to get rid of the Jews. Anti-Semitism goes back forever and ever. You know, they wanted to get rid of the Jews out of Rome. And so this couple was forced to flee to Corinth, and that's where Paul meets them, and they engaged in the same trade. They are tent makers. Elsewhere, when Priscilla is and Aquila are mentioned, it's Priscilla who is mentioned first, rather than Aquila and Priscilla, but Priscilla and Aquila, indicating that she was probably the more influential of the two in terms of ministry. Notice verse 26. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, that is Apollos. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God more accurately. This couple became dear friends to Paul. When he left Corinth for Ephesus, they went with him. When he wrote his letter back to the Corinthians from Ephesus, they were back there, and their house was being used for church meetings. Eventually, they got to return to Rome, and Paul mentions them in Romans 16. You know, one commentator said that the most important chapter in the book of Romans is Romans 16. Anybody else get bored reading Romans 16? Do you remember what's there? It's just a list of names. You know, hello to you, hello to you. You know, this person sends greetings. But somebody said that's the most important chapter. It's because he's addressing each person individually. He's talking about all of these friends and people who had been brought together by the gospel. But here Paul mentions, verse 3, greet Prisca, it's a shortened form, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. They obviously, as we've heard tonight, opened their home, practiced hospitality, allowed the church to meet there and to flourish. These are wonderful friends for Paul. It's a married couple who have taken interest in what is evidently a single man who is traveling about, strengthening the churches. Next, we hear about some old friends who now join Paul. Verse 5, when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. These friends brought some encouraging news to Paul, and he mentions it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Paul writes, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. Everybody who is working hard needs encouragement. People who are working hard in the ministry need to hear encouraging reports. And that's what these two old friends bring to Paul. He mentions them in 2 Corinthians, that they actually brought him some money to relieve him so that he's not having to work all the time in planting churches. Now Luke refers to two timely friends, verses 6 through 8. When they opposed him, that is the Jews, and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, your blood be on your own heads, I'm innocent. from now on I'm going to go to the Gentiles. He always goes to the synagogue and teaches to the Jews first. But now they're rejecting the gospel, and so he says, I'm leaving. I'm going to go take the gospel to the Gentiles. In verse 7, he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. And Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. Titius Justus was a God-fearing Gentile. He has a Roman name, a Latinized name. He's a Gentile. He was evidently converted, and he opens his home for the church. Conveniently, it is next door to the synagogue, so they don't have to go far to meet. Crispus was a Jew, and we're told that he's the ruler of that synagogue. But as a Jew, he still had a Latin name, and he too is converted along with his family. But they both became helpful to Paul in the work of the church. The verbs in verse 8 indicate continuous activity. They're very expressive. They were hearing, they were believing, they were being baptized. A.T. Robertson said it was just a continual revival that was taking place. So these friends who opened this home and were converted from the synagogue were instrumental in helping and encouraging Paul as this revival began to take place. And it had to be encouraging in the aftermath of getting kicked out of the synagogue. Again, you know, Paul must have been discouraged. You know, the Jews are not going to listen to the gospel. And so he has to leave, and yet God supplies these friends at just the right time to encourage him. God brings us together providentially so we can encourage one another. As we've read tonight about the communion of the saints, being involved with one another. Now there's some unexpected help from an unintentional friend. Calling him a friend is probably a little strong, but verse 12, when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying, this man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law. But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Paul doesn't even get to say anything. Somebody else steps in and helps him. I mean, this is where I think he ends up being a friend. Paul doesn't have to defend himself. He doesn't have to say what he's doing. This unbelieving secular ruler just says, well, let me tell you what I think is going on here. And he interjects into this conversation. He says, if this were serious, I'd listen to you. You know, but you guys are being silly. You know, you're just arguing about words. You know, it's a matter of words and names and your own law, you know, and he kicks them out. See to it yourself. You know, I refuse to judge among these matters that you have brought. He had no patience for their religious squabbles. To him, Judaism is a legal religion. You can believe whatever you want. You can practice your religion. And Christianity is obviously a little subset of Judaism. So it's all legal. You can do what you want. I'm not going to rule on your controversies here. Verse 17 again shows us this general attitude of Greeks toward Jews. Again, anti-Semitism. You know, because you brought these silly charges, we're just going to beat you up. And that's what they end up doing. Sosthenes, verse 17, they all seized Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal, but Gallio paid no attention to any of this. Sosthenes evidently has taken the place of Crispus, who got converted, went next door with the Christian church. So Sosthenes is the new ruler of the synagogue, and he seems to be the person that has brought charges against Paul. And so the Greeks standing around him beat him up for bringing such a ridiculous matter before the court. The name Sosthenes only occurs one more time in the New Testament, and that's in 1 Corinthians. And Paul is in Ephesus, and he's writing back to the Corinthians, and he refers to Sosthenes simply as a brother. So the question is this the same man? Everything else fits, the geography and the timing and whatnot. Is this the same man? Many scholars believe it to be the same man who then got converted. And again, A.T. Robertson said the beating seems to have done him some good. if he was converted, then he suffered for what was the gospel, and maybe it got his attention. And went next door to the church that was meeting there. And, what is going on here? And believed the gospel. But otherwise, unintentionally, Gallio proves to be a help for Paul. Here the secular leader helps him by relieving Paul from having to defend himself. And out of this bad situation, it appears that Sosthenes becomes a new friend, a brother in Christ. And then now a really useful friend, Apollos. There's a long account here of Paul's traveling back and forth. He leaves Corinth in Greece. He sails to Ephesus in Asia Minor, sailed to Caesarea in Palestine. He goes by foot to Jerusalem, north to Antioch, by foot back through all of Asia Minor, finally back to Ephesus. He has no MasterCard. He has no Visa. There's no Holiday Inn. There's no bus. There's no train. You know, he's doing all of this on foot or going by boat or, you know, maybe horseback or something. And he's just doing a whole lot of traveling here by himself. And Luke just compresses that whole story in just a couple of verses. It's really amazing what Paul was able to accomplish in those days. So we come to verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. Luke tells us at least 10 things about Apollos. He was a Jew, which means that he was brought up in a Jewish family with a Jewish education. He was an Alexandrian by birth, so he was an Egyptian. Luke says that he was eloquent. J.B. Phillips says this means he was a gifted speaker. Now, what does that mean? Either he knew how to use words in an effective way, or he knew how to use ideas in an effective way, or both. When you listen to Apollos, you thought, I got something. You know, that was persuasive, that was informative. It grabbed your attention when he taught. Luke says he was mighty in the Scriptures. The NIV says he had a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. The ESV said he was competent in the Scriptures. Which Scriptures? Yeah, it's not Ephesians or Romans, you know. It's the Old Testament. He knew the Old Testament, he knew its history, he knew its theology, he knew what it meant, and he knew how to apply it to people's lives. Luke says he was instructed in the way of the Lord. That means he knew Jesus. He was a Christian. He was enthusiastic. He was an accurate teacher about Jesus, but he was deficient in some areas. We're told that he only knew the baptism of John. It appears that he's accurate in what he was teaching and that he didn't make mistakes, but he was deficient in that he wasn't giving all the information, or he wasn't giving, putting the emphasis where it needed to be. Most people, when they think about the baptism of John, they're thinking what? Repentance. Perhaps Apollos was putting too much emphasis, as he's preaching the gospel, as he's sharing Christ, from the Old Testament that he's putting too much emphasis on repentance. It's not that he's wrong or teaching wrong doctrine, but Priscilla and Aquila realize we need to take this guy aside and tell him a little bit more accurately what he should be teaching. We're told then that he was courageous. He was bold in the face of his audience, and he was humble. He was willing to learn from Priscilla and Aquila. Humility is a great asset for friendship, for the Christian life, for doing church work, getting along with anybody. The practice of humility, and Apollos just stands out as an example of somebody who is out front, an accurate teacher, somebody everybody recognizes as, you know, he's doing a good job, and he's influential, he's eloquent. And yet, when this married couple come along, they say, you know, we need to talk about a few things. And he's willing to get alongside with them and learn from them. And it makes him an even more effective person, minister. When he arrived, when he goes to this other place, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that Christ was Jesus. What a wonderful group of friends, if you think about it. The friendships that Paul enjoyed over all of these years that are covered in this chapter. We don't do ourselves any favors by cutting ourselves off from friendships, by thinking that we can go alone, that we can make it through the Christian life without any friends. Paul could not have done what he did if he did it just by himself, without these people opening their homes, encouraging him. We will never be as effective as we could if we try to go through the Christian life alone. And others need our friendship. You know, we need friendships to encourage us, but others need our encouragement, our edification, to help keep going and to enjoy the life that God has for us in His kingdom. Do you have any good friends? Are you being a friend to somebody? A good friend. One last friend tonight, really the most important. If you have a Bible that has a red letter edition, do you see it? Right in the middle of the chapter. Verse 9, and the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid. You know, it's Jesus Christ Himself reveals Himself to Paul and speaks to him. Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. And so Paul had the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had the whole church, the communion of saints. Jesus says, I have many people in this city. What an encouragement we have with Christian friendships. Let's pray.